I am so grateful for the relationships that that God has given me in this room, and I'd spend my whole time just being able to be grateful for the way that different ones here at different strategic times have invested in my life. And I've known Richard since we were really young, and I've got to be really transparent and honest here, because anything that was fake, he could tell you the truth. And so we've had years of relationship together. I've walked for years with Ken and Christina. Hank and I have worked together in reaching out to this community through the HopeWorks Santa Rosa program. And anytime you start like this, you're going to be missing people. Costas and I in different ventures together. And Ron, you know, we haven't done a lot together, but he was there for me and for my family in a very profound moment when my grandmother, Joy, went to be with the Lord and ministered to us in the incredible anointing that he has. And it just goes on and on. And I'm just mindful this morning. I so appreciate what Ken said about freedom, because that's what I feel. And so I know some things that I'm supposed to do and touch on, but I just feel free here that we're going to just do it in just the timing of the Holy Spirit. And I was talking with Phil and Lisa this morning, and I'm just so grateful for them, how God's developing our relationship, which we've been cultivating over the last few years, but I'm just excited about what God's doing. And I said, I walked in this morning, and I just had this sense of chemistry. And what I meant was that this morning's not so much about me coming and ministering to Grace, but actually this mutuality of us being together and some chemistry taking place that's going to further God's purposes for this community, and that it's going to be an edification for everyone involved, that there's that God's mixing something together this morning that's going to release something new. And just as kind of a testimony of that, that's really cool, is that last night I was just, you know, listening. You guys know about listening to God here, I know. I was just listening, and how many of you know God sometimes says stuff that you don't understand exactly, like when you hear it, right? And so I understood in part, but not in full, and it just hit me this morning as this Mission Sunday, because you know what God said to me? Vaya con Dios. Right? Vaya con Dios last night. And we know that means go with God, right? And I didn't connect the dots about your foreign missions, right? That how much it's invested into the Spanish-speaking world. What I did know in that moment was go with God, that God was speaking to me about the Great Commission of Matthew 28, okay? And we know that, obviously, we do all sorts of funny things with Scripture, you know, in the church and the evangelical kind of world and all of that. But the way that we look at the Great Commission, it starts with two letters. After Jesus says, you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, he says, go, right? Go, therefore. It begins with go. And it ends with, and surely I will be with you. Now, I believe the church needs to understand this in maybe a more powerful way than we do, because there's different ways of understanding, and surely I'll be with you, especially because it comes at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, right? So sometimes we relate to it like, you know, at the end of a prayer when we say, and in Jesus' name, amen, right? Surely I'll be with you. It's like this add-on, this perfunctory religious thing, and we miss actually that the means of fulfilling the commission is provided in the promise of presence. The means of fulfilling the commission is provided in the promise of presence. It's not just saying amen. It's not some tag on at the end. Of course, there's different ways of listening to that, right? Like, you know, you maybe have heard it said when God says, you know, I will never leave you and forsake you. Some people take that as a promise. Some take it as a threat, right? Like, I'll be with you. Like, I'm going to be watching. Go into all the world. I'll be watching. This ministry of condemnation, which is not from heaven. The enemy uses that, right? He's not saying, I'll be with you, like I'm going to be looking over your shoulder to make sure that you're... And actually, he's not saying, just like, I'll be with you, like if you guys get tired, if you're not doing good enough, if you need someone to kind of step in and strengthen you here and there, like I'll be there. He's saying, no, I'm inviting you to go with me. I am on this mission to fulfill what I accomplished at the cross. And I'm going with you because we are going together. The means for fulfilling the promise comes with the presence. And so God spoke to me for you guys. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. And that your ministry into this foreign mission is a ministry of presence. Whether you're going or through your giving, through the relationship, there's a magnification of presence for the fulfilling of the purpose of God. And so I'm thrilled how God's talking. I want to talk about what God's doing here as well, because I think it's very significant. But I just believe for this chemistry that's taking place this morning. I just believe it's significant. And part of it is that there's an atmosphere, and I know this isn't a this morning thing. It's something you guys have been cultivating. I believe that you guys have been exercising your believers, right? Like that spiritual muscle of believing, of faith. You know, even and so there's something in the atmosphere of belief that God's using here that's significant, and even where you're placed. And so, one of the key things, and we sang about it here, one of the key things about belief for us as those who were part of the life that God has given us, right? One of the aspects about that that's so significant is that we live in faith in what God is doing and what God will do because of what God has done already in Christ Jesus. Is that all right? Right? That's a good chance to say amen. We stand in faith. Now, it's based on who he is, but who he is has been perfectly revealed, right? That's what the author in Hebrews 1 says. He says that in times God's spoken in all sorts of ways. All sorts of ways. Miracles, prophets, all sorts of ways. But in this time, he spoke to us in the perfect way through Jesus Christ. Right? The exact representation of his nature. Right? The perfect carrying of his character. Holds all things together by the power of his word. Right? So it's because of what he's already done in Christ that we can live with such boldness and confidence about what he is doing and what he will do. And I just felt as we're getting started that I was supposed to do, it's going to be a little Sunday school, but I was supposed to do a picture that relates to, because there's another word, right? Bio con Dios, and there's another word that we'll talk about, and we'll get to all the city bird stuff, but the word is through. Can you say through? Through. And I just want to, God's just bringing that to the forefront as so significant. And so I just want to do this picture as just part of the chemistry this morning in regards to things. And we know the center, right? The central revelation of the heart of God, the purposes of God, the ways of God, the love of God, all of it is centered in around the cross and death and burial and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, right? That whole thing that we celebrate, amen? That is where there was the perfect representation of God's love and the release of his kingdom and all of those things. So I want to bring this word through to the forefront by talking about that for a second. And what I want to say to us is that Jesus coming back from the dead it's not the only time someone came back from the dead in the Bible, right? We see examples of resurrection in the Old Testament. In fact, we see it through the ministry of Jesus. It was one of the things that spoke to his power, right? The power of God working through him. It was one of the significant things when Lazarus was raised from the dead, brought back from the dead, that that sealed Jesus' fate in terms of from the powers that be. Obviously, we know that he and the Father knew this was coming anyways. And so, but what I want to say is that Jesus' resurrection was altogether different than Lazarus' resurrection or Jairus' daughter's resurrection. We understand that? It was altogether different. I want to demonstrate that difference, if I can, for a minute. So are we recording? Do I need to be on the mic for a second? Can I just yell? Or okay, Maybe I can have someone hold this for me while I do this, if that's all right. All right, we're trying to do, I'm making it really tough on the slide people in the back, so. All right, so this balloon. It represents sin and death. Inside of the balloon is the grave, right? Okay, so everyone who's ever died goes inside, right? Now, when there were resurrections, someone would come out, right? So we've got Jairus' daughter and Lazarus, right? And it was an incredible miracle. There was incredible power. I want to say something, that Jesus' death was totally different. And here's what we need to understand, that it was a demonstration of the power of God, but Lazarus, he came out with the same body, and death wasn't changed by Lazarus' resurrection. You understand that? So what happened with Jesus, the promise of the resurrection of Jesus, was not a promise of someone who would come back from the dead. It was a promise of someone who would change death. Do you understand that? I mean, this is really big, because when we celebrate Easter, when we celebrate the resurrection, yes, we celebrate that he came back from the dead, but no, we're actually celebrating something totally different than it happened with anyone before him, though many people had been raised from the dead. Because he changed death. This wasn't that suddenly he was dead and he came back to life. This was that resurrection had taken place, and life and death were both changed as a result. So Jesus didn't come out of death the same way that Lazarus did. You know, in the Greek, that the word for cross and stake is basically the same thing. So we're just going to see what happened as the cross entered the grave. And Jesus didn't come out from death. He went through death. He came out the other side and destroyed death. He came out the other side and destroyed death. And as Jesus destroyed death, we know that he was resurrected with a resurrection body. He was transformed, and death was transformed, and everything was transformed. And here's the thing we got to understand, is that it was an incredible miracle. Lazarus being raised from the dead was an incredible miracle. It was a deliverance from death, and he was released out from the grave. But Jesus went through the grave, and in going through the grave, there was a transformation. He destroyed death. He went through death. This is a word that I think God wants to sink in for us, because I think there's a through thing that God is doing in our community. A through thing that he's doing in our community. And he's equipping us to go through, and we see this picture in different ways. It's not the only picture. I just want to bring it forward. Do we understand that he delivered Israel out of bondage to Egypt, but he led them through the wilderness into the promise. And taking them out was designed to build faith in them and who God was and what he could do, so they would follow him through into the purposes that he had for them, into the promised land. And so sometimes God takes us out so we can build something in us, in our relationship, in that faith, in that believing, that it will help lead us through, so that there will be a transformation that takes place. So it'll be a kingdom work that's released. And so that, and we know that when Israel is spoken of as being delivered out of Egypt, right? They're talked about in one way, but by the time they make it through the wilderness into the promised land, they're referred to as a nation. They weren't referred to as a nation in Egypt or even in the deliverance, but they became something as they journeyed through that allowed them to be transformed as they brought transformation into that land. And so there's this through word that God is speaking into his church, that he's calling us into, to understand what he's doing. November, we'll go back to the beginning here, very first slide. So just for me, I feel like I'm I'm in an expression of this. November 10th, so 8 days ago was like, or 9 days ago was a one-year anniversary for me. November 10th, I'm up by the Windsor Town Green. I'm sitting in my car in the parking lot about 11:58 a.m. and in a very just way that I was not expecting, God said, I have a change for you. He went on to talk to me about that change. And the biggest thing really that he said is, it means no longer being the pastor at City Life Fellowship. And I bring a greeting from City Life this morning. My wife is there. Some close friends are having their daughter is being dedicated this morning. And so we wanted to be in two places at one time. And so she's there this morning. But just greeting from her and from City Life. A lot of gratitude and relationship. Just at ways that we've partnered together and the investment that Grace has made towards City Life and in different ways over the years. So we're really grateful. And so for me, God gave a word that was different than something I had to do practically, which I had to step out of something without knowing what I was stepping into. And so this was a process where as we began to discern that it was God as a family and a leadership team at the church and all those things, and just had a sense God was calling me out and I wasn't sure what he was calling me into. And in the coming months of just relying on him and letting him go deep and expose fear and woundedness and hurt and all sorts of different things that, you know, when he just gets his hands on us, right? God began to draw stuff forward in my heart and began to just continue to strengthen things that he had given to my wife and I over the years, things that I know we share in common in terms of conviction, and began to just bring to the forefront for me a burden for this city and a burden for his church and a burden for Christ to be formed in us and for this community to know the kingdom of God, to know the good news. We, in this process, we went ahead and we formed a ministry. God gave us the name Feathervine, and I know you, some of at least here, may enjoy this. One of the passages of Scripture that speaks a lot to that for us is out of Ephesians chapter 1, and that just that awesome apostolic prayer from Paul beginning in verse 3. It begins with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I love that word, in Christ. It goes down, goes on as you get down towards the end. And in verse 9, it says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is, the summing up, in the King James, I think it uses the word the uniting, the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens and things upon the earth. And so feather, heaven, vine, earth is where that came from in that process. And just the promise of what happens in Christ Jesus. And then he began to bring forward this vision, this desire, as we've talked about, for just a call to be a bridge, city bridge, building a bridge between the church and the city. And this is something that really was like a duh for us in certain ways, because over the years in our work with City Life, for a season, our facility was used as a community center. And as I mentioned, like with Hank and I had been on the gang task force for the city and working to address gang issues, and just have really carried the desire for being a bridge between churches and between the church and the city. And so I believe that God's called me out of what I was doing as a pastor and into being this bridge between really serving the church and being a bridge between the church and the city. And I want to talk a little bit about that, but I just feel like there's a context where I just want to say, like, I think every church should have foreign and local mission, right? That we should be on mission with God. But I just want to say, I think, I don't know why, were any of you at the Francis Chan night on that Sunday? It's, you know, it was something in that time. We got together at Grace Pavilion, and it's just, I haven't been able to get away from it. I just brought Acts 17, 26 to my mind. This is Paul speaking, and he says this as he's preaching the gospel. And actually, I think the context where he's preaching, I don't know, like I feel like the Sixth Street Theater and all of that, like it was not a church type of thing. And the stuff he was talking about, there's something in the spirit about this place that God has you, and not just the area, such a strategic area right now in our city, but even this place. And so, you know, he goes out and he sees this idol, you know, and it's marked to an unknown God. And so he begins to use that as a context. He uses their culture as a context of preaching Christ and the gospel. And as he does that, he goes into this really interesting thing where he says, and he, that's God, made from one every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. And he says, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, or have our being. And he goes on to quote a poet, right? We're in a great place for that. I was a history major in college. I'm just a sucker for history, and I'm just going to throw some history on you. But before I do, I just want to say, God chose you for this time and place. God chose Grace Fellowship for this time and place. And just so you know, this is a really unique time and place in Santa Rosa's history. He chose us to be the church in this time and place for this region. And somehow, by the Spirit of God, that needs to sink in at a whole other level. And I know every time is important, but I want to tell you, there is something so significant about how the church is going to be the church at this time, in this moment. If there was ever a time for the church to invest, a church in Santa Rosa to invest in local missions in Santa Rosa, I'm not talking about City Bridge, mate, to invest here, now is the time. I don't know why. I mean, we're so, like, we can list our deficiencies, right? It's because of who he is, not because, I don't know why. He chose us. He chose this church in the city to be here at this time. Let me just throw some history to you that's just interesting. And whether this builds a case or not, whatever. It's just how I... So next year, City of Santa Rosa becomes 150. And in March, there's going to be a big party around that. And so we're coming into that anniversary that's significant. And we're going to be pulling out some time capsules. I'll tell you something. Time capsules are spiritual seeds. And when they mature, something gets reaped in the spirit. I really believe that. And it's amazing. And what's happening right now, what's been happening in these moments, is absolutely incredible. So really something that shaped, and this is here in the spirit, the spiritual atmosphere that was shaped, and a lot of the culture of Santa Rosa was shaped out of the 1906 earthquake. In fact, if any of you are familiar with, Redemptive Gifts of Cities. What's that guy's name? Oh, why am I forgetting? Anyways, he talks about catalytic groups that found a city, right? He talks about catalytic groups. And the Chamber of Commerce, which has been throughout our history a catalytic group, it was formed out of the 1906 earthquake. It was a partnership that was formed out of the 1906 earthquake, and it set a ton of things in motion in the culture and the spiritual realm. And we've just experienced the largest natural disaster since the 1906 earthquake, and I believe there's a reforming in the spiritual atmosphere and in the community that's supposed to come out of this. What's so interesting, too, is just the way that this moves forward is that we know that there was another fire, a big fire in 1964, right? Right around the same time, it actually happened like 8 days sooner in the calendar year of this one. It's the largest since then. I heard that the footprint of the 1964 fire matches the footprint of the fire we just went through within like 300 acres. Just amazing. Do you know that we just unified Courthouse Square? It was divided like right after the 1964 fires. Like the fire and the square like parallel one another historically just within like months in terms of in the context of history, right? We just started the SMART train, right? Do you know that the trains haven't run here since the 1980s? There is like multiple, there's a generational thing happening at multiple levels in the history where just things are coming realigned in incredible ways. And in the, you know, first the natural, then the spiritual, one of the most significant things that's going to happen, oh, Roseland was just annexed, right? There's been lots of annexations, but this is the largest annexation that the city of Santa Rosa has ever done. The only thing comparable to it was when we brought in Montgomery Village back in the late 60s or early 70s, right? And that has a whole spiritual implication to it. So that just happened. So the fire, the 150-year anniversary, the train, Roseland, all that stuff, and maybe bigger in certain ways in terms of just when you look at natural and spiritual is that the city of Santa Rosa this year is going to be moving to district elections, which we've never done in the history of Santa Rosa. It is a massive change of administration. Change of administration, we'll talk about it. And I believe all of these things point to the fact that we are in a massive change. And it's a change in just the natural. Because of just the nature of the change between now and 1906, our community has never had to walk through something we're about to walk through. And remember that word, through. See, here's the thing. There's a lot of people right now, I believe, because it's just the way we are wired as people. There's a lot of people praying that God is going to lead us out. Holding on to get out of the consequences of the fire. But I believe the Lord is speaking by the Spirit is that he wants the church to help lead the community through. And that it's going to bring that transformation of that. You saw the cross go through death, right? That it's a through word that's going to bring a undeniable spiritual transformation to this community. So we got to understand, we got to have ears to hear. God is calling us to a through work. And let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. I mean, I think it wasn't easy for Israel going through the wilderness. There was a transformation process, and God is going to bring a transformation. As we help lead this community through, God is going to transform his people for the future that he has for this community. So I want to serve. I want to serve together. We are going to work together. And part of what I want to do is help build bridges. And that's taking place in just some really interesting ways already, just been catapulted into this. I want to just use a very small example, very small, but maybe it'll just give a tangible picture. So can we show the picture of Depot Park? You all should recognize this, right? Anyone here? You guys minister at Depot Park, right? Right? It's right here. This is part of your pea patch, right? We're going to work together. So this is Depot Park. And so since they started the SMART train up again, Depot Park is a new front door to the city of Santa Rosa, right? This is huge. This is an entry point. You want to talk about a portal? It's a sort of a portal into our community. And the city's concerned because Depot Park's got some issues, right? You guys have been there. You know there's all sorts of things. And so the city has a Adopt-a-Park program through their Parks and Rec Department, okay? And this is just a picture. I'll go back and clean this up in a second. So the city figures we need some extra work at Depot Park, and we're going to try and get some community partners to help us, right? So the city decides to ask the Redwood Gospel Mission to help adopt Depot Park, which is awesome, right? That's a good thing. So it's not exactly Redwood Gospel Mission, you know, somehow they're like, yes, but something's missing, right? Something's missing. And so as I become aware of this, it's just a chance for me to see in a very tangible way how this works. And I was able to say to both the city and Redwood Gospel Mission, wow, you know, because I mean, Redwood Gospel Mission, we're partners. They're on your local mission thing. It's like, Redwood Gospel Mission, do you know that Grace Fellowship is two blocks from you and is already doing things at Depot Park? Do you have any idea that that's already going? Do you know that Soma Church, meeting at Kid Street Learning Theater, already does outreach and is looking for things this way? Have you ever considered that maybe Redwood Gospel Mission and Grace Fellowship and Soma are supposed to partner together to adopt Depot Park and to make a tangible impact in a very spiritually important place for our community? And the point was that Grace didn't know that the city needed, that wanted that type of help. And Redwood Gospel Mission wasn't thinking about what Grace was already doing or what Soma was doing. And so just by God's grace, I was able to come and be a bridge between the city and the church and among the churches. And I believe God's going to do something in Depot Park that's going to be, just in a small, tangible way, really significant. All right? And I remember talking to Jeff Gilman, right, the executive director of the Redwood Gospel Mission. And with this example, he suddenly goes, Adam, I get it now. Like, I'm waking up thinking about these missions and these things. And to have someone who's waking up thinking about being a bridge to help bring connection, so that, as it says in Ephesians 4, the body is built up by what every joint supplies. And so there's this release. These bridges create a flow of supply back and forth that's going to edify the body and extend the kingdom of Christ in this area. Now, since the fires, this has just been, I don't want to go too long here, but I'll just give you an example. So we live in a community that's had a lot of brokenness between civil government and the church. I think for me, one of the most profound experiences of this was being on the gang task force. And we devoted 2016 to planning for the next 5 years. It was one of the things that we did. We brought in these consultants from LA. We created something called a community scorecard. And it had five areas that we were going to have goals for developing our community, especially in regards to youth violence. 17 measurable indicators, right? And we went through this whole process, right, and had all these stakeholders, right? Stakeholders in the community around the table, right? And really, it's actually really cool. It's going to serve what God's going to do through the church in an amazing way, right? But we produce 88 pages, and I'm sitting there, right, with city council and county board of supervisors and police and sheriff and district attorney and health and human services and, you know, all the United Way, all that stuff. I just say, guys, like, this is a great plan for our community. I'm a little disheartened here. I've been representing the faith community for like 10 years. And I look at this 88 page picture of our community, and it's as if there's no faith community in the city of Santa Rosa. And we're certainly not part of the solution. And what I want to say about that, apart from warfare or this or that or whatever, is vaya con Dios. Part of what God was saying to me through that had to do with presence. We as a church have to learn how to be present in the community in a different way. We have to learn how to be present in a different way, because the way we have been present has not allowed us to be present in the thinking of the community in regards to the needs of the community. I want to close with one last scripture. Can we go to the Jeremiah 29 slides, please? I know it's small. Let me just read. This is not unfamiliar to you guys. Jeremiah 29, this is verses 4 through 7. Says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find welfare. Amazing. And you know, this is actually an epistle. Within the book of Jeremiah, God actually tells Jeremiah to write a letter. Same way Paul wrote a letter to the church in different cities, he writes a letter to those in exile. And hear me here. This is important. There's judgment, right? And the exiles got that. But here's the thing. There was a turning to God. There was a God deliver us. There was a cry from the exiles. And that cry was, God, deliver us out. Deliver us out of Babylon. And God sent a message back through Jeremiah, and he said, I'm not going to deliver you out. I'm going to deliver you through. It's going to be a 70-year journey, and I'm going to deliver you through. Let's look at this next slide that goes with this as we close. Because you hear this change. So that top word, we can't see it there, says transitory. See, there was this whole perspective. There was this sense of, and he says, buy, you know, get married, buy fields. He was coming against a transitory spirit that said, we're just passing through. We're not invested here. We're not pulling down roots. God's coming to get us. And he said, no, don't have that transitory spirit. Buy, plant, establish relationships, covenants, invest here, because you're not getting out, you're going through. And isolated and insulated, right? When you're waiting to get out, you're just keeping to your own little group. You're isolated and insulated. It's much of the way we functioned in Santa Rosa in different ways. We haven't known how to be present. And he says, no, engage. Engage with them. Do business. Engage. It's the difference. I think when we have a transitory, isolated, insulated, out type of perspective, really, we may exist in a community, but we're absent from the community. But when we understand this work that God's saying, invest, engage, there's a through work I'm doing, the same type of through work that I did in Jesus Christ, we learn how to be present in a community in a way that allows us, vaya con Dios, to go with God into the heart and purposes of the community that he's called us to. And as Paul said in Acts 17, if he was here right now, I'd say, the God of history chose this time and this place for us to be present with God for the transformation of this community. God is opening doors for us to be present in ways I just didn't imagine. There's something so significant that I just believe there's something so significant in the history of our city that's taking place right now, and we have a chance to step up and engage and be a church that God can use by the power of the Holy Spirit to help lead this community through to seeing him in a different way and to displaying his purposes for this community. Though people might not even know what God has in mind, that he'd bring us into displaying his glory because it glorifies him. That we would, as Paul says, seek him and touch him and find him because in him we live and move and have our being, that our city would know the reality of who he's created us to be in Christ. Just tip of the iceberg, but you know, the schools haven't exactly been a super welcoming place to the church over the last several decades. Do we know that? I mean, I know that experientially. I know it experientially. And in these fires, there's a lot of need, right? There was a window where a lot of silos went down. That's a key prayer point, is that the cultural, spiritual walls that burned down in the fire would not be rebuilt. A woman I went to high school with, we were in the same graduating class, is the assistant superintendent for the school district here that's represented where we are. She calls me and says, Adam, the schools are closed, and our kids, especially the kids in the shelter, are in real need of a change of atmosphere. Are there any churches who could do childcare? And so We reached out, we coordinated 5 churches to do childcare, right? Free childcare for the city. It was amazing. And it was so appreciated, get this, that the city of Santa Rosa put on their website, their school district website, ways the church, you know, help from the church for our kids, and listed the churches and their addresses and what they're doing on the city school's website. And then they decided out of this that they were going to create a liaison from the city schools to the churches. There's a faith liaison. I just met with them for the third time this week. It's an ongoing wall down, ongoing relationship between the churches and the public school system. And so then we know, hey, you know, Halloween is a big deal for families in our community. And I'd been in a community meeting where families from one of the neighborhoods up in Larkfield, they're like, our whole neighbor, everywhere where we trick-or-treat, where we've trick-or-treated with our kids, where they've grown up and trick-or-treated, every year is gone. Where are we going to take our kids? And so I went to the city schools, right? Because God said to Adam, be a bridge. I went to the city schools, and I said, look, this is important for our families. So let me offer something. I want to get for you information of everything that churches are doing for Halloween and harvest parties, as we like to call them. And what did the city do? They listed like 5 or 6 of them on the city website and told the families, go to these places. Amazing. I've talked to them again. We said, look, we know, we've heard that 80 teachers and administrators from this district have lost their homes in the fires. We want to help. So we've got this thing, we've created these welcome home baskets. It's just kitchen, bed, and bath things, right? We'd like to offer to provide welcome home baskets, you know, if you can help. And they came back to us and said, we'd like to start with 22. They're special services teachers. They're part-time. We see them as being some of the most vulnerable from being affected by the fires. And so today, 50 welcome home baskets are being put together and delivered here. And tomorrow and Tuesday, we're giving welcome home baskets to city school teachers, these teachers from the union, to just say, from the church, we love you, we care about you, right? And this is something, and we talked to the administrator, we're like, we'd like to let them know this is coming from the churches that we're praying for them. He said, great. We're going to keep it going. Because God has opened a door. And this is not everything, but it's something that's saying there's something in the air. There's an opportunity. And God's telling us to dig in, to follow him, to learn how to be present together in this community, in Depot Park, and in the schools. Where you work, that we would learn how to be present in a different way, because God's leading us through. And something's going to change forever in our community as a result. Thank you so much for being here. And whatever the Holy Spirit's wanting to do this morning in the chemistry, in my heart, in our hearts, Lord, just let it be. We say yes to you and your purposes.